I serve up a slam each morning. Wait, all this talking about serving slams. Think this guy works at Denny's?
Was this an ad?
You're like, your opponents will be drooling for this slam.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
Hello everyone, welcome back to Full Court Mess, the hottest podcast for the hottest takes, the hottest news, the hottest conversations about bad basketball opinions. I am your podcast all-star champion, Jared.
I am the boy with the struggling microphone, but figured it out later, Joe.
And I'm really, really scared about what Zion Williamson is going to do to my favorite team in about 24 hours. I'm Will.
Is Zion playing against the Wizards tomorrow?
Zion's going to be playing for the Wizards in a few months, thank you. But no, our enlightenment take actually is about Zion. We're journeying to the college game for a second, but Zion's basically already an NBA player. They asked, I thought this was a very enlightened way of playing defense. They asked UNC's players and coaches, How are you going to stop Zion? No one can stop him. How are you going to stop him? And UNC's starting center said, it is easy to guard somebody when they don't have the ball. I don't know how he can score without it. So that would be best. Problem solved. I don't know why it took everybody else so much time to figure out, but
Galaxy brain.
In my opinion, the perfect defense is to hide the ball in your shirt and pretend like you're pregnant.
It's to never have to
and walk around
at all. So
just hide the ball.
I apologize to Zion for kind of giving out the blueprint. Next year NBA teams might be using this against him, but it's at least worth a shot. Some new ideas.
So what do we want to get into today? There's not a lot of news. The NBA is on break till Thursday. We're recording this on Tuesday, on the 19th.
Mm-hmm. NBA just needed a little space.
Yeah, we can talk mutual. About the contest results and things that have happened around the All-Star break, within the All-Star break, in the tunnels and the arenas. What do we start with here?
I mean, you got to start with how that All-Star Saturday night started with the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, I think.
Yes.
And its champion, Taco J. How fitting is it that a man known for his love of tacos won the Taco Bell Skills Challenge?
With a half-court shot.
Did. I appreciated, there were a few fun bits to this. I appreciated how hard Trae Young was trying.
Yeah.
To the extent, like, when he lost, he wasn't really laughing about it. Like, he really wanted to win.
He wanted that so hard.
He was just, like, cheating. It was awesome. Just throwing the ball full court and then running after it so he could go faster than Doncic.
He completely burned Doncic, too. He was behind and just flew by him.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. He wanted that. And he even said, like, in his press conference afterward, he's like, I'm coming back to win it next year. I love how fixated this kid is on the skills challenge.
Can we, really quick, the skills challenge is just a different kind of shooting challenge.
They did take out almost every skill.
Yeah. There's
now one pass, and you don't have to complete it.
Yeah, if you miss three times, you can just
basically
go.
Made for that competition. His right. Skill set is, like, speed and, like, shooting a three.
No wonder he's mad about losing.
He was a blast in the Rising Stars Challenge, though. Him and John Collins, like,
true.
Oh yeah,
it was fun watching them to get showed off, because you know people don't watch Atlanta Hawks games, but it was some of those alleys that Collins was hitting were just wild, and it was fun seeing Trey do his thing in there too. It's a perfect showcase game for a player like him.
Yep. I'm hoping for the Trey Young Kevin Herter connection next year.
I'm telling you, man, I'm already loving Kevin Herter. Like, we've said it before, we'll say it again. The Hawks are so good at drafting 19th overall. John Collins and Kevin Herter. What a pair to pick up after the lottery.
Calling it now. Who's the next 19th in 2 years, 3 years? Who's going to be the 19th again?
LeBron James Jr.
Okay. Callback.
Wow, that's a big vault up in the mock draft from a late second rounder like we had him.
Now he's 2023 19th overall.
Wow, they really swooped in 2 years.
But no, I also, what a blast. I hope everybody here at least and everybody listening saw the Jokic's reaction after Tatum eliminated him.
Yeah.
He just he was messing around and because Tatum came from behind. Jokic missed three threes before Tatum knocked him out. And Jokic wanted to talk to him and was just messing with him, shoved him away.
Cold shoulder.
It was, somebody said right after, imagine what a silly place the league is going to be in a few years when the guys running it are Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. And they're right. It's going to be hilarious.
I'm so down.
It's going to be a blast. And then, yeah, I love that the guys were just shooting half quarters with the stuff on the line. Doncic was having a blast out there. He was playing like a guy who knew he was almost an all-star anyway, so he's just screwing around in the skills challenge.
Yeah. That was fun. It was fun to watch.
He'll be an all-star next year.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, he will.
How about that Legends three-point contest, huh?
Ooh, man.
Ray Allen going 0 for 5 in his rack.
It was so fun when they were calling people out, and he was like, let me get a couple of my buddies out here, just seeing the people come out oh yeah. And then, boy, they couldn't shoot at all.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like what charity does to make people shoot like garbage.
Dell made the first one and Reggie screamed something like, there it is, you never forget. And then they made as a unit 3 out of the next 29.
Yeah. Every time Reggie hypes them up, they just miss.
I think they ended up with 10 points or 9 points out of a best possible 30 or 40.
They had to round up for the charity donation.
Okay. They do a round of one of the racks is all money balls now. But I don't know who got that one or if anyone got that one in that.
I was the most mad at Ray Allen because we saw him in the celebrity game and he was shooting just like Ray Allen.
Four-pointers. He was shooting four-pointers.
He was pulling up from anywhere and making everything. Mm-hmm. And then when it was charity on the line,
nope,
he wasn't even close.
Fuck them kids.
And I felt real bad for Mark Price? Yeah, I think it was Mark Price. Mark Price did not look like he could get the ball all the way to the hoop. Everything was really, really short. It looked like a struggle. But it was a good lesson to if you're going to make people shoot for charity, let them warm up before they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Stop having people come in cold and try to make shots because they can't do it.
That was embarrassing.
Even the best shooters of all time can't do that.
Practice is
Ray
a good
Allen, idea. Ray Allen would be at games before, at least near the end of his career, he'd be at games 3 hours early just shooting over and over and over.
Yeah. These guys, every game. Everything is a repeatable motion and just practice, practice, practice. And then they're like, hey, let's get these guys to come out of the stands and fire up 5 shots. Hope they all go in.
We love charity.
So maybe that is finally seeing that last night excuses Draymond Green for tying Kevin Hart in a 3-point contest.
Yeah, we'll say that.
Never forget.
And also Draymond, when Curry,
all great
Curry couldn't make the half court shot.
Yeah. The Warriors don't have a great history with specialized shooting events.
Yeah.
How about that Curry Brothers bet where loser buys the family tickets for the rest of their career?
Ouch.
Sorry, Seth.
That was a kind of uncomfortable interview for Seth because he was kind of getting shit on a lot and he was very clearly not enjoying it. Curry had a big grin, but then they're like, which one do you hope wins? And Dell's like, well, Seth's never won anything, so I'm rooting for him tonight. Come on, man. This is on TV.
The graphic comes up for Dell. It just says Steph's father as his.
Pretty much. I mean, they were like, we've got Steph and Seth Curry here. Steph, 2-time MVP, 3-time champion, and widely regarded as the greatest shooter of all time. And Seth, who's currently leading the NBA in 3-point percentage.
And Seth, who is also here.
Who shares a last name with his brother, Steph.
There was that Trailblazers game, early in the season, where Steph had the day off, so we went up to watch it with his family, and it showed Steph on the big screen. It was Seth's brother.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
They should have introduced Seth that game as Steph's brother at his own home game.
My favorite introduction of all time is still last year when the Celtics got Greg Monroe for a brief period, when they came to Washington, the Wizards just put his, like, when they put him along with the rest of the lineup up on the screen, it just said Greg. No last name.
Hell yeah.
Greg.
That should happen more often.
It really should. Greg Monroe is a one-name guy, mainly because who are the other Gregs that are going to compete? Not much of Odin and...
Ostertag.
There you go. Steesma, was he a Greg?
Yeah, Greg Steesma.
Yeah.
There you Wisconsin, go. The Wisconsin man.
The Wisconsin man.
One of the longest tenured Wisconsin big men in the NBA ever. Shout out to John Luer, but after him, it's basically Steesma. Kaminsky might get there, but we'll see.
Should we talk about the real three-point contest?
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad Joe Harris won. That's awesome.
I'm too. On a show. Really,
I tell you, it is fun, though. There's just, like, a different feeling when Curry hit the first 10.
Yeah.
And there was a small – even if you, like – you knew it wasn't going to happen, but there was a small part of you that believed he was going to make all of them.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow. He's just so different than everybody else. He, like – if Joe Harris – when like, and Joe Harris did make 10 in a row. He just did it at the end. But, like, when he made his 10 in a row, it was like, man, this guy can shoot. And then you watch Curry make 10 in a row, and you're like, he might never miss a shot again in his life.
Yeah. Like, yeah. For Curry losing, he's going to, like, enter the next, like, regular game and, like, try to shoot the lights out to make up for this.
It was a pretty good contest. I like most of the guys having the Moneyball rack at the end meant there were a lot of fun moments at the end where they would hit, like, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5 to advance. Some good scores, like Danny Green got a 23 and didn't even make it to the out of the first round.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of good shooting.
It was competitive.
And Joe Harris went off and really deserved it, which was pretty cool.
I liked seeing Dirk there, although I feel like Dirk shot better in the All-Star game than he did at the three-point contest.
Yeah.
It was fun having him there just to see how much higher his shot goes than everyone else.
Oh, that arc was crazy.
It's insane. It was going like multiple feet. It was going like 10 feet above the backboard. It was like, this guy doesn't seem like he's playing the same sport.
He hadn't even like gotten off like the fifth shot yet, and they're already saying like, oh, he's not gonna finish.
I was cracking up at when they broke down the arc on his shot, they used his one air ball. He's like, guys, I don't know if this is the best one to really demonstrate his unique shot.
And it's not like other guy, like Steph's, the arc on Steph's shot is really high too, like higher than most. But yeah, Dirk's is just like out of this world. It's a moon shot.
But that's
Chris Middleton putting up a solid 11, representing the Bucks.
Yeah,
hard. I felt cursed while watching that. I was like, it would be my guy Chris who puts up the lowest score here.
It's all right. He's an all-star. Yeah. He had a really good all-star game, actually.
He did.
He had like 24 and 5 or something like that.
What's his next contract going to be?
It's going to be...
I don't know.
He's going to go for the big money.
Someone might offer him a max deal.
He's at least getting 100 mil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He says he wants to play in Milwaukee, but if he gets a max deal from somebody, I don't know. Besides the Bucks.
Do you think there's a deal the Bucks wouldn't match? Like... that they want to offer him?
Probably, like, probably not. I'm sure we'd match. I'm sure they'd match anything.
Like,
but
you got such a good thing going, and I assume at some point they're gonna like, we should probably not get rid of too many of Giannis's closest friends.
Right. Yeah.
Especially the ones who are good at basketball.
Right. And Chris just said like a week before, like the week of the All-Star game or whatever, like, I really want to be here. Giannis is committed to here. I'm committed to here. Like, So,
yeah,
I figured, it's not like he's seeking out big money, but yeah. like he, I'm sure he wants to get paid. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm pretty optimistic that we'll re-sign him.
Yeah. I mean,
and it'll be a fair number.
Something disastrous. Like, unless he puts out like the worst playoff performance of all time, then he'll probably get whatever he wants from Milwaukee.
Because
they still have like the best record in the league. That's
and he's only like 26 or 27.
Yeah,
like he's way younger than he either looks or seems to a lot of people. He's only like a year or two older than Giannis, so they're both mid 20s. Like, have a bunch of good years left. So,
well, no, I think this Giannis guy is past his prime. He peaked in the 30th game of this season.
Low key fell off. should we get to the?
I'm not even gonna dignify myself with a response to that.
Okay.
I'm gonna make a serious claim that Giannis peaked in the first half of the All-Star game, and it's all been downhill from there.
Well, you're not wrong.
As far as the All-Star game goes, that was true.
Should we get into the All-Star game?
Yeah, it was fun. Well, a lot of really good highlights.
I want to start it really quick. This tweet I found. Two tweets, both at All-Star athletes. This is from at Hooters Official, which is not the official Hooters account.
No.
Hooters Official has three tweets that aren't tweeted at anyone, and then two others tweeted at these two guys. We'll just scan over the tweets they have. Hooter Fridays, happy hour from 5 to 9. Make sure you stop by for deals galore. Veterans Day deals this weekend. Come on down for deals galore, plus good food and good girls. Mom, drink free. Come on down this Mother's Day for free. Yes, we said free drinks for all mothers. We'll get to the two tweets now. We'll start with at Kevin Durant. This was in November. At KDTray5, you are a big loser. You are never allowed, and allowed is spelt A-L-O-U-D, to eat at all Hooters locations ever again. We hate you at Hooters. Never even think about our ladies, ladies spelled LADY'S, ever again.
This is PFT commenter. It has to be.
At Dame Lillard. Why do you think are an all-star? Never once in your career have you been an all-star until you complain about it. You will never be a good NBA player. You will go down in history as one of the most overrated point guards ever. Again, that was last November before he was voted in.
It's either PFT commenter or that Celtics guy is Giannis. It's one of those two.
Nah, it's just Hooters Official.
No, that's the Hooters CEO. I'd recognize that voice anywhere.
Oh, who is it that got fired from the Sixers over summer?
Oh, Colangelo.
Yeah, it's Colangelo. It's Colangelo's wife.
It's Colangelo or Papa John.
We got him.
Devastating blow for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's too bad for both of them.
But only Kevin was banned from Hooters and has to keep his hands off of Hooters ladies.
Yeah, Dame Lillard was only banned from being an all-star.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Really defying expectations this year, then.
Yeah.
He started shooting in that All-Star game in the third quarter.
He brought that team back.
Like, put LeBron's team in the lead again.
Yeah, he's responsible for that late surge and for that comeback, pretty much. As is Curry for throwing the game.
I love that the last season where people were like, Lillard only became an All-Star because he whined for it. He legit was first team All-NBA.
Yeah, he whined for that too.
People were like, oh, he's also the best point guard in the league for this year. And everyone's like, oh, but he wouldn't have been an All-Star if he didn't complain. I don't know. His complaints sound kind of fair now.
I think that my favorite highlight from the All-Star game was the Steph Curry bounce off the floor alley-oop to Giannis. That was very fun. Kind of in response to that, I have an article titled Rumor: Warriors Could Be Thinking About Giannis Antetokounmpo in 2021. You and me both, Warriors.
I love it's not rumor they're thinking about it, because there's already like levels of uncertainty to that. It's rumor they could be thinking about it.
Yeah, like you could say that about anything at all. Like,
that applies to absolutely everything.
I could right now
rumor,
say
I could be thinking about donuts right now.
Yeah, rumor. Will may or may not be thinking about Kyle Lowry's ass.
Let me go ahead and confirm that one for you. Like, a rumor they are thinking about Steph is like just as valid, because it's still just a rumor, but they're like, no, we need to cover our bases here.
Like, so you could say that, like, rumor Warriors may be thinking about Zion. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Exactly.
Rumor Warriors contemplating basketball.
Sometimes I'd be thinking about it.
I already tweeted about this today, but let me just run through this article a little bit, because there's some strong takes and some funny quotes in this. All right. The Golden State Warriors are bracing for the departure of Kevin Durant in the summer, a move that could range from possible to inevitable, depending on one's sense of pessimism. That's a pretty, I mean, I know how I feel, but that's a pretty strong take.
Yeah.
Like, possible to inevitable. That's the range. Again, I guess it's always possible.
May or may not be thinking.
Yeah, that is every possibility. Okay, never mind. If he does, it won't be long before the Warriors reload, though, as they could well target Giannis Antetokounmpo in the summer of 2021. So if the Warriors have Steph, Klay, and Draymond, they would need, assuming Boogie leaves also, they would need to reload. Is that what this article is going with? Like, are they not contenders with Steph, Klay, and Draymond? Like they were before?
Yeah, like, apparently not. People forget. They won before, like, KD.
Yeah. Yes, that is just two summers and change away from taking place. But that is how free agencies are mapped nowadays. Just ask Danny Ainge and the saliva he has collected through 2 years of lusting after Anthony Davis.
Ew.
Gross, dog.
That is the worst way you could ever put that. If Durant leaves, Golden State will have to go back to its vintage core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, if re-signed, and Draymond Green.
Vintage.
But it wouldn't be too long before they could pitch the Greek Freak on New Horizons. The Warriors would be trading one near 7-foot monster for another, and while Giannis doesn't have the elite shooting touch of Durant, getting him at 26 years old could be a boon for the franchise moving forward.
It's a rumor that it could be a boon.
Rumored. He might be able to help that team.
Getting the probable MVP could be good. Rumor. Here's a quote from the exact article. "It's got to be Giannis now," wrote Thompson. "After Durant wears the crown this summer, Giannis will be the league's next huge free agent target, with his current Milwaukee deal set to expire in July 2021. Curry, Giannis, and Klay Thompson. That's a viable reset if Durant leaves. It's possible. It would first require Giannis wanting to play with the Warriors. But tell me you didn't get a sense he'd want this from the All-Star festivities."
I'm gonna have to ask the writer here to put away the jump to conclusions, Matt.
I want to also add that it implies a bit that Giannis is just like the solution for KD being gone. That's not an easy switch.
The Warriors were the best team in the league without Kevin Durant.
And
then he joined them.
And also, like, if they're just getting Giannis as a replacement for Durant, like, they'd have to change some playmaking. The thing that Kevin Durant is good with his team is that he can also shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis can't, I mean.
As well as
yeah,
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, like, he's not the same Definitely. Option.
No, he's not.
Hearing from Jared that Giannis is a bum who would actually hurt the Warriors.
Wow, yeah.
Whoa.
Me too.
No. Giannis, come through.
I don't want come through. No matter what.
No.
You brought this curse onto the Warriors.
You did not hear this here first.
Jared's been spreading it elsewhere and only now is brave enough to say it on the podcast.
Come through. So, really quick, I do have a Danny Ainge tweet that I've been reminded of since you did mention that beautiful quote about his saliva.
Saliva.
Awful. Mm.
All that Danny Ainge saliva.
This is some random tweet I came across on my search from it's 2 a.m. somewhere. This was actually tweeted out Will Kane, who does a Will Kane show on ESPN Radio. I don't know if he answered it or not, but this guy tweeted at him and said, "When has Danny Ainge ever made a good deal with another team? He has always taken advantage of other teams in trades. Why do you think this Anthony Davis deal will be any different? Good deal for him or other teams?"
Isn't that kind of the point?
Why isn't Danny Ainge helping other teams more?
Right.
Why is Danny Ainge so selfish? And do you remember why are his salivary glands so active?
There were reports at the end of Hinkie's tenure that people would stop trading with him because they just thought he was like trying to rip everybody off, which is still like you said, like, hilarious to me, because do most teams enter trades with the idea that the other team is trying to help them?
Right. And like,
let me just take that guy off your hands.
Anthony Davis, he's such a burden. Just send him here.
Ugh. He wants to be traded. Just let us have him. Come on.
He's gonna get we'll himself hurt unless he's here. I'll give him back. I'm just borrowing.
We've got a 2022 second round pick.
Ooh.
We've got Isaiah Thomas. he's hurt and he can't play for 2 years. Anyways, that's just a fun thing.
It's a lot more fun than the previous Danny Ainge comment, which I will always somewhat resent Joe for saying out loud.
It's kind of fun to me.
I'm really not happy about that one. I will say that Warriors like thing, everything I hear out of like the teams can't, like, it kind of makes sense to me that Warriors writers would be like that, because everything I hear about Lacob is that he legit, it's not like he doesn't want this like dominance to come to an end. He legit like believes it never has to.
Right.
Like to Joe Lacob, like the logical continuation for the Warriors or is for them to stay this dominant.
I mean,
forever.
It's a good idea.
Like more people should try it, but like I think it does mean, I think it's probably not a, like his mindset is probably not like a great thing for people who think like, if you're like a huge Draymond fan, you're like, oh, I hope he's a Warrior for life. Like,
yeah.
That's not going to go very well with the guy who thinks that they should be not just like a championship level team. Like we've seen San Antonio prove you can be a great team or a very good team for 20 years and be occasionally great during that time. But like Lacob seems to sincerely believe that, hey, we're going to stay this dominant.
Yeah.
We're going to own the league.
It's ideal, obviously, but that's not realistic in any way.
Yeah. And it's going to, I mean, again, it's not like they haven't done enough. Like, I mean, this will sate the fan base for a long time, whatever. Oh. And you like that.
Yeah. Like if they didn't win another championship for a little while, like I wouldn't be sad. Like,
yeah.
But and, like, honestly, you want owners, what more can
you
I
want
ask for
more than you want, like owners who are afraid to pay or something.
Yeah.
But
like, at least he's willing to pay, but
it's definitely
like
going to piss some people off.
Yeah. Eventually, like it'll fall. And like, it's just going to happen, especially with like all these changes happening throughout the league. There's like pretty good competition right now. And this is just the start of it. We have all these young guys that are just becoming amazing. We got, you know, over in the East, there's like the Sixers. There's Embiid. Embiid and Simmons are amazing. Giannis is obviously amazing. There's a lot happening.
I would say the Sixers, Bucks, and Celtics are definitely all on the up and up still.
Yeah.
The Raptors will see that they're up there. The Nets are on the up and up. Not that they're going to be at the Warriors level, but they've definitely got like the youngest team with a lot of potential, like great players.
Nuggets.
Nuggets are great. Thunder are still great.
It's a silly like article that's like basically just, oh my God, there's not NBA games for a couple days. Can someone churn out a piece? Is what it seems
like.
But like I can see where that mindset comes from, because that's like what the Warriors ownership mindset is. It's very much like, what's the best way to make sure we keep dominating the league? Well, why wouldn't Giannis want to play here? Everybody else does. Let's just get him.
Yeah, KD wanted to play here.
Everybody wants to play there. Curry's the best teammate in the NBA. Just keep getting every superstar that becomes available. It's like, I mean, it's a great strategy.
Yeah.
I would just like to unequivocally add again that Giannis has stated over and over again that whenever someone asks him, what are your goals? You know, like, what do you want to do with your career? Like, what do you see happening in the future? Every time he answers, I want to win a championship in Milwaukee.
And
I want to be here.
Anthony Davis said the same thing about New Orleans.
I think.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry. Right. I'm sorry.
What, what's the first date that they're going to hold? Maybe he's thinking he wants to beat the Bucks in the finals and wants to win on the road.
He wants to steal it from them.
He's like, I just want to shit on the Bucks as much as possible. No, I think Giannis keeps promising that he wants to be there forever, and I think it's valid. I do think it's weird that he always puts Milwaukee in air quotes and winks afterwards. So there's a couple more signs, but yeah, no.
Don't you put that on me.
Also, this is the same guy that wanted them to keep Jason Kidd like desperately.
Yeah, he has terrible judgment.
So
I do think, like, I don't actually think Giannis is going to leave, especially if the Bucks stay this good, because why? They're this good. Like, if the Warriors don't exist this year, the Bucks are a championship-level team. Like,
yeah.
They could be in the finals this year.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, like, I don't really think there's a huge reason for him to leave. But on the other note, every player wants to stay right up until they don't.
Sure. Yeah, I'm very firmly in the camp of, like, he's never leaving. And he will always be an MVP candidate from now on, which is delusional. But
that's the field. So,
but I also have no reason to believe he wants to leave at all at this point. Like, every time an article comes out of like Giannis could go to this other team, like it's all just speculation and like what other owners are saying. Like, yeah, we want Giannis. Like, it's never founded in what Giannis is saying. So, I have no reason to believe otherwise. But I think as long as the Bucks retain, like, if the Bucks retain Chris Middleton, that's a really good sign for hanging on to Giannis. If the Bucks are like, eh, that's too expensive for Middleton, we'll let him walk, Giannis is going to be like, what the heck? That's, like, my guy, my other all-star on this team. So I think retaining guys like – retaining Middleton and other core guys like Middleton is super important in keeping Giannis in Milwaukee and keeping him happy, which I think the Bucks will do at any – like, literally the last guy at this caliber we've had on the Bucks was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, it's been 40 to 50 years since we had a player of this caliber on our team.
Oh, cry me a fucking river. It's been forever since my team had a caliber of that player of that caliber.
Stop whining. You got MJ.
Well,
come on. Who can say that?
Yeah, wow. Wow, yeah. Such MJ slander.
Fuck you for that one. I would like to state it is the official Will and podcast stance that Michael Jordan was never a member of the Washington Wizards. He retired in 1998, and he stayed retired for the rest of his career and life.
Okay.
Will statements are not Joe's endorsements.
Again, we'd like to bring up that this is a fact-free podcast. Yeah,
please. Take that to the fucking... Since you've
been mentioned, this is a no-fact zone.
Nice.
You know what?
Since you mentioned Ben Simmons, I ran across a great Ben Simmons take from Chris Mannix.
Okay.
This is from February 12th, so a week ago. And it just reminded me, like, Simmons, unabashedly, Simmons is one of my favorite players in the league to watch. I love that guy. But he just, the conversation around him is so weird because of all the shoot a three coward jokes that, like, everyone's in some really strange position where they either think, like, oh, it's crippling that he can't shoot threes, or it's someone else's, like, he should never shoot. That would show you. And you're like, nah, I mean, it'd be cool if he could. But he just inspires some weird takes. And this is one of my favorite kinds. Chris Mannix said, does any elite player in the NBA have higher potential upside than Ben Simmons? He's an all-star with a scoring ability non-existent beyond a couple of feet. Add a floater, a serviceable mid-post game, a decent three-point shot, he's an MVP. Yes.
That's all you gotta
if he could shoot, he would be a better player.
But, like, think, he listed so many things. He's like, if he could shoot from short range, mid-range, and long range, he'd be an MVP. Yeah, that's true for a lot of guys.
Yeah, very different. Yeah, if he could shoot from anywhere, I think that'd be a good touch.
If he was good at shooting from everywhere on the court, whew, everyone would be in trouble. It's just, that's such a classic Ben Simmons take where it's like even the people who are trying to like support him can't enjoy him, right? This guy's take is essentially like, does any elite player in the NBA have a bigger glaring flaw than Ben Simmons? He's like, he has more he could improve than anyone else, which is a nice way of putting it, but like that's still not really focusing on the good parts of his game.
Maybe instead of like worrying about how he could be an MVP, worry about how he could be like most improved player.
Maybe he could worry about how to keep other guys from dating his girlfriend.
Ooh.
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 Doesn't sound like he's a great rim protector or something like that.
Ooh.
Yikes.
But if Embiid was a good 3-point shooter, he'd be an MVP. Like, there's a lot of guys you can say this for.
If Giannis was a good 3-point shooter, he'd be unstoppable. He's there.
Yeah, he's unstoppable. Cool.
Simmons needs the shot more than Giannis does.
All he's got to add is a floater, a mid-post game, and a 3-point shot. That should only take a year or two, right?
One summer.
If he works hard at it, maybe.
The list of guys who went from, like, couldn't shoot to really could shoot, like, you can go from can't shoot to, like, good enough. Like, John Wall went from really couldn't shoot, like, 8% from three in his first or second year, something like that, to where he could shoot, like, between 34 and 37%. You're like, all right, serviceable. Right. But of, like, actually becoming a really good 3-point shooter, essentially, like, only Kawhi out of the elite players that I can remember.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd comes to mind, but
yeah, but
I think he was a little more serviceable to start. He was like,
you want him to be able to do it before he's like 38 years old.
And even like being like okay to becoming like an option takes like a whole career for some people. Look at D-Wade.
Yeah,
there's
no guarantee it happens.
D-Wade's in his last season. This is probably his best shooting season from three.
I like to like think about the amount of players where if you just take their worst flaw, like there's probably like 10, 15 guys in the league where if you take their biggest flaw and just make it into a strength because you feel like it, they could win an MVP at some point. I'm just like, Karl Anthony Towns, if he was the best defender in the league, MVP. Yeah. Anthony Davis, if he was a great three-point shooter, MVP. Yes, all of these are, like, it's very easy to say.
What if? That's all these are, right?
Yeah, like, but it's funny because we do it for Simmons and to a lesser extent now Giannis so much more than everyone else. Funnily enough, because they're further away.
Right.
Like, if Ben Simmons shot, like, 32% from three or something like that, it wouldn't be a topic of conversation. Like, no one talks about it with Anthony Davis, and he's not... Like, he has a shot, but he doesn't really have a three-point shot. Not a consistent one by any means. And no one talks about it because it exists. But, like, it's only because Simmons is so bad at shooting threes that we're like, oh, man, if he ever figures that out.
Yeah, it's, like, the ultimate backhanded.
It really is. He was just like, who's the elite player with the biggest flaw in their game? And he chose Ben Simmons, which I'm not dead certain is true, but it's, like, a fair-ish conclusion to run to. But it's definitely a backhanded compliment. That's all that... which elite player has the most upside means.
Yeah.
Because, well, again, like, he doesn't even have as much upside as his massive teammate who looks like the second coming of Hakeem Olajuwon.
Jonah Bolden's really good, right?
There he is.
Rashawn Holmes is really good, right? Oh, he's not on the Sixers anymore.
Oh, wow.
That hurts.
Big pistachio.
There was something since our last episode that happened in the league was a pretty big, well, big as in quite the show of an ejection during one of the last games before break for the Warriors. That would be Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. In the clipboard.
I love when Steve Kerr gets mad.
Me too, because it doesn't seem like it's very like, often.
More like Steve Gurr, am I right?
Oh, wow.
Folks.
Don't do it.
Warn us next time.
Bro, you gotta let us know before we start recording if you got heat like that.
I don't know. Did you guys see that ejection?
I did.
I didn't. I don't watch the NBA.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Hey, no facts on this podcast.
Yeah, no facts. Watching.
It was pretty great. He got so heated.
Steve Kerr called that particular call that pissed him off a head scratcher. I mean, this is biased for me because obviously I want the Warriors to have a good time. But there were some head scratcher calls, and to be fair, on both sides. But that call, that flagrant on Draymond, who wasn't really involved in any scuffles earlier in the game, and got decent amount of ball. When Kerr got mad like that, and I thought he was about to push someone, I was just thinking like, yeah, that sounds good. That seems right. I'm okay with this. Yeah, I feel that energy. And post game, I saw someone asked him what he thought was worse, his treatment of the clipboard in that game, or when he shattered one a couple years ago. What do you guys think about that?
Both very good moments.
Yeah. I gotta go with the
shattering. I think the shattering of the one is worst treatment of the clipboard.
That was crazy.
Snapped it in half.
It's hard to argue with that.
But that spike was pretty mean.
It was. But if that spike had then resulted in a shatter, maybe we'd be talking.
Yeah, I don't know if that broke. That's
right. He needed to spike it and then like drop the people's elbow on it or something.
Right.
And just eliminate that clipboard.
I will say,
look at the ref and say, "This is you."
To talk a little bit of experience here, just to offer a little point of view. I had a baseball coach in middle school. I love him death. One of the best coaches ever. But he had a temper that resulted in more than a few times, once in seventh grade and multiple times in eighth grade, him throwing a bat when he was mad at us. And one time he threw the bat and it hit the fence and it broke. It was a wood bat, old taped up wood bat. And that was scary, but it was not as scary as the time he threw the bat. It hit the fence, and it bounced back so far, it almost hit our catcher.
Oh shit.
So like that's one where the non-shattering was actually a lot worse for all of us than the shattering. But also the one with the catcher was the first time it had ever happened, so we were all way more shook. By like the fifth time it happens, you're like, I know not to speak, but I'm not as scared as I was before.
This is a good segue of did you see the Sam Decker tweet about high school refs?
I hate Sam Decker. Well, so yes,
Sheboygan, stand up.
Sam Decker quote tweeted, it was a picture or video of a high school game where it says ball in hands with 0.00 seconds left, and it wasn't called, I don't think. Sam Decker quote tweets with El Mayo, high school refs are so clueless. How can someone not see or hear this? Little harsh, they're high school refs. They don't have a replay technology. However, someone screenshotted that and said, LMAO, how NBA players think it's appropriate to knock the people who spent their nights allowing them to play games that got them to where they are. And it's hard for me to take either side here, but come on. Like,
there's only one side to take. Immediately open up Twitter, report both of them.
Right. We should be able to, I mean, I'm not an NBA player, but NBA players should, anyone should be able to try to hold a ref accountable for a bad call.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
In Sam, my Sam's humble being... opinion. All right, and that's the show.
We're all,
I thought you were going to say something.
Disgusted. We're all just really disgusted with everyone in this exchange.
Anyways, if you want to be more disgusted, someone shared an article written by, I think it's a blog, herviewfromhome.com, and it's titled, "Before you yell at the referees tonight, let me tell you about my daddy."
This gets worse and worse.
And I did read through this, and it's pretty much about their dad. I think who wrote this is Carolyn Moore. He coaches either high school or college games, I think. And it's just about the work he does to prepare, and they got travel for it and stuff like that. And he works so hard. And just think about that before I yell at him. And it mentions like some of the parents there, as the ref, sorry. Okay. And it mentions that some of the parents there have, you know, different kind of jobs, like they're doctors or teachers or something. And it's like, look, if a teacher or a doctor or a scientist fucks up, I'm pretty sure people try to hold them accountable. Sure people don't like come into their work in a crowd and say like, are you blind? But come on.
I want to be clear on this one. If a teacher, a doctor, or a scientist had fucked up that call with no time left on the clock, you'd have to hold me back from beating their ass.
Right. I would look like Steve Kerr when he got ejected.
I would treat them just like I would treat that ref.
Just saying.
If there, so help me God, if I was watching a game and there was a borderline block charge call, and I look over and a first responder comes in and calls it a charge when I thought it was a block. I don't want to say that I would hope for another
censored,
but
oh boy, I'm keeping that in actually.
I was really waffling on if I was allowed to say that or not. It was about to come out, and then I stuttered like five times. I was like, oh, I don't think I'm allowed to.
I think the funny thing with this is just like, you know, before you yell at him, just remember that like this is his job, and it's hard, and like we travel for it to watch him do his job, and it's like I'm not gonna feel bad for a ref when his family traveled to see him do his job. That was don't try to fucking guilt me on his bad call. Also,
what?
Also, yeah, don't be like, well, be nice. It's his job. Yeah, it's his job. And he fucked up.
How? What kind of do lots of families do this? Like, oh, which team are you rooting for? Oh, not both. My husband is just the ref. I'm here to watch the game. Here to watch my husband work.
That's actually mentioned in the post. Right, so they go to root for him.
I'm just here to root for the refs. I just hope the calls are good and no one gets mad.
I'm imagining the one that always kills me when they're like, remember, when you yell at this man, remember that he's a human person. I'm like, dog, do you know how many people I dislike? I know they're human people. That doesn't change anything. This doesn't mean we can't show humanity. And like I said, I don't. Sam Decker didn't need to be all mad like he was, but he's whack.
Yeah.
But that's always a great one. I'm like, he's a person. Yeah, there's a lot of bad people. I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, like the people playing in the game are also persons. The people robbed of that game is a person.
And he's screwing
them. Yeah.
If you cared about your father, maybe you'd buy him some fucking glasses. That's what you gotta say.
All refs matter. That's what I'm trying to get out here.
If you cared about your friends, black and white lives matter.
You get one of those, you know, those fucking Blue Lives Matter flags where it's already a black and white flag, but with the blue stripe in there.
Yeah.
One of those, but without the blue stripe, and it's just your ref lives matter.
It's a literal ref shirt on a flag just waving around.
Is this our first piece of merch?
Oh god,
black ref striped shirt with black and white lives matter.
We're starting off controversial, baby.
Hey, the comment was just the next level up from the beating.
Censored.
With a
censored
comment.
Oh no, I gotta edit this whole thing out, Joe.
That's not cut, man.
No, I said it after the sound went out. You can cut it.
Okay, whatever. If you're wondering why it went silent in the middle of Joe's sentence, it's just because I silenced that and I didn't want to edit the whole thing out for fun.
Fair enough.
Let the people know that my takes are so powerful that they got Joe censored too.
Let's move on. Let's go to the dunk contest.
Wait, yes. Do we want to talk? KD and Kyrie?
Oh yeah, the tunnel talk. Will you bring us in there?
No, oh, fuck. I was counting on somebody else to have this one. So Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had a conversation, and because I only ever read the captions on videos and never actually watch them, I'm not sure if this actually got said or if someone is like lip reading or something. But the idea is that Kyrie told Kevin Durant that two max slots, it's finally time or something, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what he hit him with. And we heard him say that on camera, like there's
You can hear it's time in two max slots.
Okay.
You can hear that part.
We all know the Knicks are looking to make two max slots and should probably have them this summer. We all know all the rumors. Kyrie and KD have been separately rumored to the Knicks for ages. So that's the idea is, oh, wow, they're actually talking about it. They're talking about it on All-Star Weekend, baby. They are going to do it. What do you guys think? Are they going to do it?
No. Actually, I have a screenshot. All right.
Jared's on the phone. He's not sure.
There's a reply. Someone posted one of the videos on Twitter with a quote, you know, with Kyrie's quote, two max slots, it's time. And someone replied, if that's true, why does KD look like his body language is saying nah? And his body language in that video, he's like shaking his head. He's like, nah, 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 nah. And this reply right here that I love says, how would you respond if someone wanted you to play for the Knicks?
I will say, got him. The entire weekend, Kevin Durant looked like he was having less fun than anyone at All-Star Weekend.
Right.
It was almost impressive. And the other one I thought was a decent point where I'm still kind of on the fence about this because so many people are talking about KD to the Knicks. I have no clue what's going on with Kyrie because I never know if Kyrie knows what's going on with Kyrie.
Fair.
And that probably actually applies to Kevin Durant too. But so many people are talking about it, and it does remind me a little bit of like everyone was talking about LeBron to the Lakers last year, and people were like, what? Why? And then all of a sudden, Durant starts, and it's like, oh, he didn't even consider anyone else. He was going to the Lakers for a year. Like,
it was either there or the Garden.
Hey, that's what it's all about. So I thought that parallel was a little interesting and made me pause a little bit. Like, if everyone's this sure, like, is there a reason? Or is it class? It's always hard to tell with these teams because every free agent gets linked to them because they're in a big market.
Yeah.
I repeat my plea. Please, Kevin Durant, go to the Brooklyn Nets, please.
I agree with that. Unless he stays, I'd like him to stay with the Warriors. I mean, I've said this, like, I don't think he will stay with the Warriors. I think he came and he did what he wanted to do. He won, yeah, and he learned. Like, he definitely advanced his game and, you know, got some different play styles in. But
got in, got a three-peat, got out.
But I'm
thinking the Warriors would want to help some other teams out, you know.
Right, right. Sign and trade.
Have Kevin Durant for a while. Yeah.
Yes. I don't see the Knicks as, like, the biggest contender. Also, like, yeah, it definitely, like, looks and sounds like Kyrie said, two max slots, it's time. But, like, that could also be so out of context. Like, he could be saying, like, this is what everyone's saying. Can you fucking believe this? Can you believe this nonsense? Like, that's
I definitely doubt that they literally got caught on camera discussing that they were about to go to the Knicks this offseason. Like, that didn't happen.
Right.
But I am curious, like, where are the places Kevin Durant might go?
Nets.
I think it'd be awesome. I'm not sure how likely it is. Because, I think it'd be awesome from a basketball sense. Like, they finally get some true star power on that team. I think they're exciting. I like everything about them, but people don't care about the Nets.
Right.
And I'm not sure, honestly, that Kevin Durant would suddenly make them. He's amazing, but, like, it'd be like if someone goes, if, like, a super great player, and this isn't a perfect analogy, they never are, but, like, if a all-time level player goes to the Mets, they're not going to suddenly, like, take over the Yankees for, like, the team in New York.
Right.
The Nets are going to be still, like, a smaller deal than the Knicks, even if they have Kevin Durant and they're eons better at basketball, which they already are. Yeah. But
well, hate to break it to you guys, but according to this screenshot I have from Instagram, Kyrie Irving controls this entire offseason. Let me tell you why. If he stays in Boston, AD goes to the Celtics, Kevin Durant doesn't go to the Knicks, and Kawhi goes to the Lakers. If he goes to New York, KD goes to the Knicks, AD goes to the Knicks, and Kawhi goes to the Lakers.
They know AD can't choose where he's going, right?
Oh, he's going.
He's being traded.
And if Kyrie goes to LA, AD to the Lakers, KD not to the Knicks, Kawhi not to the Lakers. It's all right there, folks.
I love this idea that Kyrie leaves Boston and Ainge just goes, ah, damn it. Now we have to let whatever team Kyrie just went to get Anthony Davis instead of us. We're not allowed to try to be good at basketball anymore.
Every single one of these tweets has AD just going where Kyrie goes.
Exactly.
Because every single one of these scenarios.
Suddenly that team will trade for him.
I mean, they just want to help see this happen.
You heard it here first.
The Knicks just come up to the Pelicans and like, hey, we're only offering one first round pick, but Kyrie's here. And they're like, ah, well, you got Kyrie. That's where we got to trade AD.
Look, we'll help you out. We want to see this happen.
We want both of us to succeed, but mainly you.
Just credit us with a handshake. You know, future considerations are appreciated.
Dunk contest?
Can I start really quick with an Instagram photo I found about the dunk contest?
Please do.
Please.
Someone I are begging.
Actually says
I'd be insulted if you didn't.
It actually says that this is a quote from Skip Bayless. I didn't realize that before. But it's so wild to me that I don't even believe it's from him. And that's saying a lot. It's four pictures of LeBron dunking in the All-Star game. The quote is, it's really a shame that LeBron James never had the courage to participate in at least one NBA slam dunk contest. Not even one. His fans deserve one.
His fans deserve nothing. Let me be clear.
LeBron fans are the lowest of the low.
The courage that he lacks. He doesn't have the courage to participate in a dunk contest.
I'm telling you, we're getting some merch in addition to the All Refs Matter shirts that LeBron, participate in a dunk contest, you coward. That's what it'll say. It'll be happening sooner or later.
It's going to affect his career just as much as shoot a three, you coward, has Ben Simmons.
Exactly.
That's a bold take, but really, it's what the dunk contest does at this point, right? It just inspires. I don't even know if I want to use the word bold take. It just inspires bad takes. A lot of them.
The dunk contest is only for the most courageous of players.
who are the four bravest players in the league this year? That's how they literally pick the field.
Right.
Next year, the field will be whatever four players are the first ones to take charges from Zion Williamson.
Did you know that Curry could throw down
first
like
three, and then Zion Williamson will be the other one?
Did you see those self oops from Curry?
I did. I really his reverse one was. There's something special about watching Curry dunk because you always kind of forget that he can.
I forget. Because like,
it seems like effort. Like his whole game is effortless, but when he dunks, he has to try, and it's like, oh wow, look at that.
I have seen him get easily rim checked, like on the most simple of dunks, multiple times.
Oh yeah.
And then he does this. I'm like, what?
He's inspired by Clay.
Who's that wearing the Curry jersey? Anyways, dunk contest.
So I can jump in on it because I enjoyed the dunk contest. Now, to be clear, I enjoy the dunk contest pretty much every year because I turn it on going, hey, I hope I see some cool dunks this year. And I do, essentially every year. It's crazy. It's batting about 1,000 for me. Some years better than others, obviously. Like, there's some all-time contests, but I think most people have pretty outsized expectations for the event. But lo and behold, this year we didn't get an all-time contest by any means, but we got an all-time dunk out of this contest. Like, Hamidou Diallo going over Shaq, elbow in the rim, is one of the better dunks I've ever seen.
And don't forget the little peek from inside the jersey.
Oh, that was so good.
The little rip.
Hammy's showmanship was really good, which was like when he walked out there, they brought out the rack of balls just so he could be, no, that's not good enough. Can anybody find me the tallest person in this arena?
And have him and come everyone out. Was like, is that Boban's music?
I like that. Is that Boban? Like fucking Reggie Miller is sitting there like, well, that's probably Kareem. I'm like, no one's jumping over Kareem. He looks like he'd fall apart.
yeah. When it cut to Kareem and
Bill Russell.
Yeah, and Bill Russell's like, no, they're not part of this. They'll fucking die.
If you put anyone tries to jump over Bill Russell, they should be put in jail.
Right.
That's right.
He is the best ever. But so like, first of all, you're sitting there going, Hamidou Diallo is a shooting guard, by the way, like not huge. He's also a member of the greatest high school dunk contest of all time. So if you've heard of him, you know he has bunnies for real. But he's like backing up Shaq lined up there, and you're like, all right, like, is this dude really going to make it over Shaq clean? And then that's all I'm thinking about. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm not thinking he's going to add anything to the dunk. And he goes over him, and I see his elbows in the rim, and I legit yelled in my living room. I was just like, straight up, I don't know if it was any words, but it was just, oh, like, goodness, I was not ready for that.
Oh no, I yelled also, and then I yelled even more when it showed the inside of his jersey.
Yeah,
while he was still hanging there,
like doing his jersey. What a beautiful showmanship and impossible seeming dunk. Like, he took an incredible dunk and was like, oh, I'll just add in jumping over Shaquille O'Neal to do it,
and no hand on the shoulder. No, yeah, like, no boost off the shoulder.
So that was incredible. I enjoyed most of the dunks. Like, some of them, like Dennis Smith had a lot of trouble. He clearly over the past 2 years just has a bit of trouble like finishing dunks. Like, he just seems to lose the ball at the last second. I was hoping for a little better from Miles just because I thought he had better in him, and he might have. It's easy to like fuck up when you get two attempts and that's it.
Right.
John Collins's grab the backboard dunk was ridiculous. To be able to hold one side of the backboard and dunk on the other side of the rim is
underrated.
Something that seems fairly impossible.
Yeah, like watching that in slow motion, I was like, wait a minute.
JaVale hoops dunk of our time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, it's always, I love when big guys do that because they're hurt so bad for like big guys in the dunk contest or just don't look as impressive. But then they do something where it's like literally only a big guy could do it because you have to be that size. And then they still get punished for it because they're big.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. And then I really loved the one that sealed it for Hammy too. It wasn't like super impressive in terms of like listing all the things he did. It's not like he did a bunch of different stuff. But he's just got such great explosion and style when he's dunking that he made it look so good going over Quavo like that. And again, he still jumped over a person and dunked with both hands, which is wild. But
You were going off on Twitter, Will, about people being upset about the scores and people being upset about how little they were impressed by this dunk contest, seemingly.
You said harsh words like nerds.
I did. I substantially hold that
most huge majority of NBA Twitter people are just massive nerds watching the takes roll in with this contest, because like most people could agree that that Hammy over Shaq dunk is incredible, if not even an all-timer, and I'm pretty sure it is an all-timer, but that was like pretty solidly agreed on. And still people were like really unimpressed with the contest, said it was horrible, just complained about scores the whole time. And it led me to a lot of thinking of what are your expectations coming to this? Like, if we get one dunk that we'll remember throughout the years, like, that's pretty dang good for a dunk contest. And two, the next thing that stood out was just how much complaining about the scoring there was. I was trying to figure out why people don't like this, don't enjoy this as much as I do. And I think I realized it's because I turn it on to watch really cool dunks. And apparently other people turn it on to watch scoring because that's all they talk about. Like, you're in the second round and someone's just saying, ah, well, I thought, like, wow, incredible dunk. And you hear like, well, I thought the scores for this one were too low, but the scores for this one were way too high. And I guess I appreciate the sentiment behind like these scores were too low. I don't really want to hear from anyone who's complaining scores are too high. Just watch the dunk. Like, you can see it. You don't need, who even is it at this point doing it? Like, I don't know. It used to be like Kareem and Kenny Smith giving it how many ever points out of 10. We don't need to hear from them how good they think it was. Like, you can watch the dunk. You can see if you really need other people's reaction. You can see LeBron and Giannis jump around like crazy on the sidelines. But they're just going like, it was a good dunk, but it didn't deserve a 45. It deserved a 40. It's like, oh, shut up. What are you doing at this point? Just watch it. Complaining that it got it. It deserved 4 9s instead of 3 9s.
That's not the point of this. That's stupid. No. It's like, that's like watching like America's Funniest Home Videos and you're like feeling competitive about who wins.
Yeah. Like, or like you're watching like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you get really mad at the amount of points they're giving certain right. people. Right. Also, like, it makes sense.
Let me tell you, the points don't matter.
Like, I'm shocked by the number of people who turn this contest on to complain about the scoring. Like, just ignore it. It's not the scoring contest, it's the dunk contest. Just watch the dunks, they're incredible. It's like unreal athleticism every time. And then that's the other part, is I'm watching this contest, and for me, the enduring image of the contest, there's two. One is absolutely Hammy's dunk over Shaq. Like, that's the image. Him hanging from the rim with the flashing the Superman is awesome. The second one for me was after Dennis Smith tried one of his, it wasn't his first dunk, one of his, I think about his second dunk. He went and tried to go between the legs, kind of reverse, and then put it in the hoop as he was going past the hoop with his right hand. And it was funny to me because he did that in the event last year. It was my favorite dunk from the event last year. And it's an awesome dunk. It looks so fresh. It's such a different looking take on going between the legs. But he just couldn't hit it this time. He tried it like 3 times, missed it every time. And I'm watching this dunk that I saw this guy do last year. He can't even hit it. But after like his first or second miss, they showed the sideline and Giannis and Sterling Brown are sitting next to each other and their jaws are just like on the floor after watching his attempt. Like, they saw this guy, like Giannis, the most athletic player in the NBA, the biggest freak this league maybe has ever seen, is open mouth, like slack jawed after watching Dennis Smith miss a dunk we've seen him do before. And then you get on Twitter and people are just like, ugh, I've seen this dunk before. Bullshit. It sucks. Oh, man. Pretty impressive, but I was more impressed when the other time it happened back in 2000. Like, what is wrong with you people? These guys are like doing things that shock the best athletes in the world and impress them, and people just watch it on Twitter, guys who like eat Cheetos all day and are like, you know, I've seen better dunks because he didn't go between his legs as fast as I thought he should have, and really it was a take on a dunk that Vince did back in the day. It's like, be quiet. Like, just enjoy it. You should not deserve to be that cynical about something when Giannis freaking Antetokounmpo is that impressed by it. Like, there's no basketball feat that you should get to be that cynical about if it shocks the best players in the world.
Oh, well, I could have won the dunk contest if I didn't tear my ACL in high school.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I can do that on a 5-foot hoop, so I don't know why I'm that impressed that he can do it on a 10.
Right.
He's an NBA player.
I could have won the dunk contest if I didn't groan every time I got up from a recliner.
Exactly. Like, and it just comes back to like this absurd ask that these people have of this contest. Again, go into that contest just thinking, I hope I see some really cool shit. But
instead people go in expecting to see dunks that have never happened before in history, and they expect them to get them right on the first try every time, and they want to see the best contest they've ever seen every time. They want it to be an all-time classic. That doesn't happen that often. All-time classics are classic because they don't come around that often. There's a lot of dunks that have happened before, so as cool as it is when somebody does something you've never seen, it's also really cool to see a guy do something his own way that maybe you have seen before. And I promise, almost all of these dunks are pretty ridiculous if you can, like, I don't know, wipe the smudges off your glasses with your Dorito-crusted fingers and actually, like, see what's happening.
Woo, he's mad. He's mad.
He's going in.
Always mad. He's gone. That's the best part for me is that my big piece of advice is just enjoy it. And then I get mad because people aren't doing it. But I promise I enjoy the contest just as much. I just end up mad afterwards. But I do, like, everyone on Twitter saying, like, oh, that contest stunk. Or my favorite one was the people saying the one thing they'll remember from this contest is John Collins kicking the plane. Like, it's just so much nerd shit, man. Like, we got an all-time dunk from this contest, and that's the one thing you remember. Just go do something else.
I saw a take that said, Giannis chimed in at some point over the weekend and was like, this is making me want to do the dunk contest, which he did do, I think, as a like second-year player or something. He didn't do that well. But anyway, if he did it again, he's like, oh, this would be fun if I did it again. And Donovan Mitchell chimes in and says, oh, if you're in, I'm in. And then Giannis quickly backpedaled and was like, you can do it with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon if you want.
Got him.
Then I saw another take that said, oh, next year we got to have Giannis, Donovan Mitchell, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, and Zion Williamson in the dunk contest. So I guess we'll just have five players in it now. Yeah, that'll be good. Donovan Mitchell seems like the odd one out in that group, by the way.
Pretty obvious who was forced in there.
The tweet was by Utah Jazz Nation. That should clue you in.
There it is. They're like, we didn't have anyone but Gordon Hayward in this contest. It was funny. There was a really great article. I already retweeted on my own account. I'll see with the guys if we're allowed to retweet sincere takes from the pod account.
I'll allow it since like we talked about it on the podcast. It kind of makes sense.
But it's a great piece by at Zeets from SB Nation. That's _ZEETS about the dunk contest and talking about how, first of all, difficult this thing is. Like it's not like the 3-point contest. This isn't something that guys practice all the time. 3-point contest, like you're doing your shooting motion over and over. It's difficult, but it's something you work on. These guys aren't practicing these dunks all year. Then you have to come up with something that no one wants to have ever seen before. You have to do it. You have to not mess it up. Never mind these dunks that they're doing are so hard because we want them to be, that even when you practice them as much as you want, you're still going to mess them up all the time. It's things you can't physically practice that often because it's so demanding. And then on top of all that, like in the game, dunking is impressive because you do it over somebody. And this was like a big part of Z's point. I thought it was a great one. We go crazy for dunks in game because you dunk on someone. That's the one people go nuts for. In the dunk contest, that person's removed. So you just have to come up with something, like take the one thing that everyone enjoys the most about dunking, remove it from the equation, and then challenge these guys to be creative enough to come up with something that replaces it, which is a pretty big ask.
Do it in two tries.
Yeah, it's not impossible. It's not like it never happens, but it's a big ask. It's something that's really difficult, and it's just people watch it so cynically that it's tiring. I tell you, seriously, just go into the contest hoping you see some cool stuff. You can expect to see it if you want. You can go and say, I'm expecting to see some cool dunks. You'll get them. It's really cool shit that happens in the dunk contest every year.
Well, people
some
like,
are definitely better than others, but it's fun.
People just dismissed the contest before it even happened because they're like, oh, who the fuck are these guys? I don't know these names. And it's like, well, that's on you.
What could be worse than giving rising stars a platform
right
at All-Star Weekend?
And like, yeah, just because you don't know, like, just because you don't know who they are doesn't mean like they're going to put on a bad dunk contest. They were chosen to be in the dunk contest based on their dunking ability that's been proven throughout the season so far.
Reminder that none of these people, the who didn't know these players also did not know who Zach LaVine was before his dunk contest.
Right.
Like Zach LaVine is famous because of the dunk contests.
Idea for the dunk contest. position Rudy Gobert under the rim for everyone's dunk. And he has to genuinely try and block them.
Oh, man. He probably would genuinely try. I trust Rudy.
or insert whoever, Embiid or Miles Turner or Giannis or whatever sort of rim protector you feel like.
Let the dunk
put him down there. Big boy Boban, let him get dunked on.
Let the dunker,
or attempted to be dunked
let
on.
Let each dunker pick who they want to dunk on. Make it personal.
Yeah, it's not just jumping over someone. You are dunking on them.
Everyone always says the like, how we save the dunk contest, how do we fix it or whatever. It doesn't need to be all that much work. Adjust your expectations going in, watch it to enjoy it, and you will. It's fun. You get really cool dunks.
On that note, I've got a retro take about some good ideas for the dunk contest.
Okay.
For a dunk contest, I should say. This retro take comes to us from Yahoo Answers, approximately from the year 2008. The question asker asks, any good ideas for a dunk contest? All right, I'm having a dunk contest with one of my friends. We are dunking on like a really short hoop, and I can jump pretty high. I'm about 5'8", and I am about an inch away from the rim. But do any of you have an idea of a dunk I can do? We each have 6 dunks, and I really want to win. So any ideas from any of you? Because I can't think of any. So I'm assuming when he says he's 5'8", and about an inch from the rim, that he's like reaching up from the ground, and he's like an inch away. So maybe this is like an 8-foot hoop? 7.5 foot?
Yeah, something like that.
Or is it literally like a 6-foot hoop? we're talking here.
Maybe, yeah.
Did I miss something? Like he could be jumping on like a regular hoop and he could possibly get that close if he has good hops.
Yeah, maybe he's got pretty good vertical.
5'8" is pretty short, but
it's
possible for like being able to dunk on a 10-foot rim anyway.
Yeah, but it's.
I mean, that's about what Nate Robinson is at.
Right.
But anyway, so it's the best Nate answer Robinson. We've got. We've got 6 dunk suggestions here from the best answer. Sammy is the name of the answerer. And this was answered in 2006, so this is actually about 12 or 13 years old. So here we go. Note, these dunks require skill, hops, and big hands. Dunk number one. All these dunks have names, too. I should clarify. Dunk number one, go old school. Start with a fundamental. Alley-oop it off the ground, grab it, and serve a windmill crash. Pretty simple.
This rules.
Dunk two, wow the crowd. Do a back to papa, parentheses, alley-oop off the backboard, and grab it, and serve a one-handed tomahawk. Dunk three, back in time. Start your follow-through on the free throw line, do a 180 turn or a 360 if you can, and finish like Vince Carter, elbow in the rim.
Easy.
Casual.
Dunk four, game over. Start near the free throw line, dribble, first step, behind the back, second step, under the legs, and serve a slam.
But that's...
Is serving a dunk like a normal phrase?
I love how this dude types.
Dunk five. Ha-ha... I can't even say it. Dunk five, haha, fatality. Start near the half court line, parentheses, this dunk is crazy. Bounce it up high in the air, but you have to be able to aim it so you can alley-oop it. Bounce it high while aiming, do a cartwheel, jump, grab the ball, cradle the ball like Jordan, and serve it down. Your landing might be off balance.
Ooh, good looking out.
This is a huge pass to yourself, then a cartwheel, grabbing the ball and doing a cradle dunk like Michael Jordan.
There's a reason it's the fatality.
Because it will kill you.
You die when you try to do it.
You will land. You will fuck up. You will land on your neck and die.
He said you will land awkward. He told you.
Dunk six, up, and where did he go? Get a short kid. Alley-oop it, spread your legs wide, jump over him, and serve a Jordan-like smash.
Get a short kid. He's already a short kid. Do we get a shorter kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no specifics on get a short kid. That's all
this it says. Guy types exactly like the person who
did that legendary post on every morning I wake up and palm slam the Chronicles of Riddick into my VCR player. In the exact same syntax. I serve up a slam each morning. Wait, all this talking about serving slams. I think this guy works at Denny's?
Was this an ad?
You're like, your opponents will be drooling for this slam.
Are those
they'll be drooling like Danny Ainge.
I like that one of them is called, what was the crowd something?
Wow the crowd.
Do the others not wow the crowd? If you want to win, I would try to wow the crowd. I wouldn't try any others.
He used some of his really good names too early, so he had to go a little extreme. That's why, like, Game Over got followed up by Ha Ha Fatality.
Yeah, and then the next one is Seppuku.
Yeah, like, Game Over should probably end the game. But no, you've got three more dunks coming after that.
Oh, man.
That's incredible.
Good stuff. Just some suggestions for the dunk contest next year at Adam Silver.
You're right. This shit is easy. He came up with all that stuff that fast.
Damn. Why hasn't anyone else thought of this? Before we end, I know Joe has made a recent purchase. He has taken our show's audio quality budget and actually spent it on Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
It's true.
And
I'm sitting here with a charged original Dew in front of me.
And while this is not most basketball related, we will count it. Let's get that review.
I've never had one of these. I was going to review it live here on the podcast. If you don't know, it's a Mountain Dew Amp product. I think it's just like Mountain Dew Amp rebranded, but I'm not sure because there's a lot of features on this can, first of all. So it's a 16-ounce can, tall boy, advertised to increase alertness and accuracy for gaming specifically. And then there's a little asterisk, and it says, see GameFuel.com for details. So I'm on GameFuel.com right now in the About section, and it says, designed for gamers. Mountain Dew Amp Game Fuel was developed in partnership with pros and elite amateurs to create the first beverage designed just for gamers.
Now, Joe, can you prove to us real quick that you do, in fact, game so we know you're legit?
Oh, man. How do I even prove that?
Well, at least
how would I go about that?
At least list what you're gaming here. I need to know.
What I'm gaming?
You game? Like, what do you play, man?
Sorry, is podcasting a game to you? Because we're quite serious about this.
Wow, yeah. I'm offended by the question.
I'm just
saying. Lately, I've been playing. I just got sick of NBA 2K again.
Okay.
So I was playing that for a while. I'm on Red Dead Redemption 2, playing that for a while. Every once in a while, I'll get some Super Mega Baseball 2 in there.
Oh, nice.
All right.
I just want to make this only right. For gamers.
All right, okay. I had to prove my worth. All right. So the accuracy and alertness claim, it says formulated with ingredients to give you the boost you need. So what's in here to increase alertness and accuracy in gaming is caffeine in combination with theanine, which has been shown to improve accuracy and alertness, according to studies.
Very much sounds like they just put like
a very scientific
Mountain Dew.
I've found that the more caffeine that I have, the less steady that I am.
Yeah, you get the shakes a little bit.
It's because there's no theanine.
Maybe the theanine balances it
out. The caffeine brings you up, and the theanine brings you back down.
You're right.
In a down
where you started.
Nailed it. Some other features about the can includes it's an aluminum can with a pop top, but the pop top is resealable, which is actually pretty cool. There are instructions on the top of the can for how to open this. There are four steps, which seems like a lot, but I've never opened anything like this, so we'll see how much I struggle. So it's resealable pop top, and there is also about a third of the can has this sort of rougher texture to it. It's like a chrome sort of cover in contrast with the lime green of the normal Mountain Dew kind of brand color. And this chromed section of the can is referred to as the tactile grip of the can.
Mm.
Specially textured ink provides a superior grip. So
I mean, I don't know. You know,
I guess gamers' hands get sweaty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, you're playing you know, Tetris 99, the new battle royale, which I swear is a real thing. I swear.
I'll take your word for it.
You know, your hands.
I mean, yes, sweaty. Yes, I'm a gamer. I know all about that.
Wow. Interesting, Joe.
Save myself there. Good cover,
Jared. I gotta make sure we're ready here. When Joe takes his first sip of this, are we ready to cut his mic in case he goes straight into a heated gaming moment?
Right.
All right. I'm gonna try and figure out how to open this. Let's see. So the steps are pull, open here, slide, drink here.
Sounds like step two is really the important one for opening.
There's also on the top of the pop cap, there is a little XO symbol. I don't know if those are gamer button callouts or if that's like a little hug and a kiss right there.
It's a reward for winning.
Thank you, Game Fuel. XO right back. All right. The flavor is Charged Original Dew. There are four flavors, I believe, out there. There's Charged Cherry Burst. Along with Charged Tropical Strike and Charged Berry Blast.
Okay.
So I went with the original. Figured I'd start there.
Joe is a far braver man than I. I stopped drinking even regular Mountain Dew after I put it in a coffee cup and it ate clean through the bottom of the cup. So Joe's drinking turbocharged stuff.
Guess you weren't a true gamer. You weren't the chosen one.
I wasn't, man.
I'm struggling to open this. I don't know. Oh, there it is. That's why
it has a tactical grip, so you don't lose control.
Okay, that was step one and two. Now we're gonna slide. Oh, look at that.
Oh, but wow. But here's the thing: it didn't say Simon Says.
You're out.
All right, gotta seal it back up. Save it for another time. All right, this is a little scarier than I thought it would be. We'll give it a go. All right. First live taste test of Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
And we lost him, folks. That's the last you're ever going to hear from Joe.
Well.
I feel like I want to rant about the scores of dunks in the dunk contest.
Oh, no.
No.
Watch your wording.
I don't know. It doesn't, it's like, it tastes like Mountain Dew, but like with some other... sort of like it's the theanine, I think. I don't know.
Joe is currently booking his flight to next year's NBA awards to accept his Game Fuel award and to cheat on his wife. Apology will be in our special themed next episode.
I didn't know we were going to talk Tristan Thompson on this podcast.
Joe, do you find yourself wanting to root for Gordon Hayward more now?
No, I don't think so.
Are you suddenly very
passionate? There's a strange... Okay, so inside the can, there's like a weird, like little plastic layer, like a centimeter or two down from the nozzle. And I think that helps with like the sealability of it.
Mm.
It's very interesting. I thought it was like some sort of film that was sitting on top of the can, but it is plastic as far as I know. But
if you get rid of that, all the racism seeps out at once.
Yeah, be careful.
I give it a rating of not that bad.
Okay.
That's my official rating. I do like the resealable pop top. That's pretty nice. The beverage itself is okay.
Now, you do know that it's not recyclable, and the only way to get rid of it is to throw it into an active volcano.
I've got to look into proper disposal of this, like as if it were lead paint or something. I'm gonna have to contact my waste management provider.
You're lucky I'm here. I got hazmat trained for a warehouse job once.
All right. Nice. Wow. Perfect.
Well, should we get over to our thinker?
Think it up.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I feel truly enlightened for the second time thinker on this podcast.
Yeah, maybe we'll make you do the other flavors too.
I've unlocked the full potential of my brain with Game Fuel
as punishment. Right, as I bring up
side note, they were $2 for $3 at the grocery store, so I did get a berry blast.
All right.
Oh no, we lost him. He's a game fueler now.
Do not check out.
This was a great last podcast for me. Yeah,
do not check out Joe's upcoming gaming moment tweets.
Mute Joe now.
Yeah. So as I bring up this tweet, I'd like to remind everyone that if you have a hot take or any hot takes that you've seen, anything like that that might be worth discussing or us checking out, you can DM them or tweet it at us at @afullcourtmess on Twitter. And any thoughts and feedback or anything at all, any discussion, also send that our way. Here's our thinker for the week. I'm still on brand with the tweets from players. This is from Dirk Nowitzki. This is from the 19th, so this is fresh, as in this morning. Not that it bothers me, because I heard it too many times, but is it cool for parents to point at me and tell their kids, "Look how tall he is"? Can I run around pointing at people telling them how small they are? SMH.
I think so, Dirk.
Yeah,
please do.
I think that's fair. I think he should. And I'd actually respect him more. Well,
amen.
That's an episode. Thanks for listening. Check out our Twitter, and we love you.
Thank you very much.